What I want to do, Ryan and I were talking about it. Good job today, Ryan. It's the first time to lead. And I thank the whole music team for them for leading us in worship. God is always kind of covert. You know what I mean by being covert? Working behind the scenes. And he's saying to you, encourage you, keep on going. And then you turn around and you look back, oh, it makes sense now. Hindsight is 20/20. But God is always encouraging you to go forward. How many thought you'd be sitting in Bean's Corner Church on Sunday morning 5 years ago? No way. But God did. He encouraged you. He brought people around you that encouraged you to be here, to give your life to Christ, and to wait and see what he's going to do next with you. So what I want to share with you, I want to start in Acts chapter 11, but I'm not staying there. I'm going to go to Acts number 10. So let me give you some, every good sermon needs an introduction. So here's my introduction. I used to be a senior adult minister in Carlsbad, New Mexico. Now, the group's known as MAGIC, okay? The most active group in church. That's our acronym, okay? And they were. They were just phenomenal. So I'm 29 years old at that point, and I said, I noticed the senior adults weren't growing as much as they should. They're reading their Bible, but they weren't willing to step out. So I came up with a phenomenal idea, because it's my idea, and I read it somewhere. I said, let's have a mystery trip. I'll tell you what you need, but I'm not telling you where you're going. How many senior adults would get on that bus with me at 29 years old? And so Annie and I... So I said, we're having a mission trip. You'll need $35 and bring walking shoes and water, and we'll take care of everything else. How many do you think I had the first time? I had 10. Out of 80 people, 90 people, we had 10. I took it. Get on the van. We drove around Carlsbad, and then we went somewhere they weren't ever expecting. We got there, and they were excited to come home, had a great time. They learned something, but I developed in them an attitude of faith. So I got home with them, and their friends are going, well, did you have any fun? See, there's early adopters, and there are late adopters. So the next quarter, we did another mystery trip, and it was a 9-hour mystery trip. How many do you think I had? 3 van loads. And we went to El Paso, Texas, and we went to the Spanish publishing house there and walked through the Spanish publishing house. Comment I heard on the van is, we would never have gone here by ourselves, but we have seen with our eyes what this does. And they were very excited about that. But if I would have told them, hey, we're going to the Spanish publishing house in El Paso, Texas, how many of you think would have gone? Not a soul. If God says to you that I'm going to make you a preacher, how many guys would we have raising their hand, let me be there? Not a soul. So God is covert. He's slowly moving people along a path that if we stay with him, you'll look back at my age and you'll go, wow, I never thought God could take the sinful man and use him in a way. So let's go to Acts chapter 11. And I want us to start there. And you know how we have these movies where they start at the end and work backwards? That's what we're going to do, okay? So hang with me. Okay, Acts chapter 11. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into a house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Are they early adopters or late adopters? Yeah. You know why they're thinking this way? Because when Jesus resurrected and he said, "Go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost part of the world," right? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Well, somebody had to be the person who went to the outermost. Do you think Peter struggled with that? And why would the circumcised believers really struggle with that? How did they know this? Because of Jesus, what his words. And they took it literally. Is Jesus and his great commandment, is it bigger than Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria? So let's just say J, Franklin County, Maine as a whole, and the DR. Are you aware that you're on a mission trip? I fell and hurt my left arm. So I'm in this rehab place. And this guy swore he knew me. I'd never seen him in my life. And he says, "I know you." I go, "I don't think so." And then he asked me the word. "What do you do for work?" And I told him I'm a pastor. He goes, "I don't know you. I only go to church for funerals and for weddings. I don't know you." And I wish I would have been smarter than I was. I would have said, "You know, but God wants to know you and you to know him. I will see him again in the rehab, and we're going to have this conversation." Okay, so I want you to understand that as Peter is coming home and he's saying this to the people who are on the backside. Let's look at what Peter says. He says, "Peter began explaining everything to them, precisely what had happened. It was in the city of Joppa praying. He was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance, and saw a vision, and saw something like a large sheep being let down by heaven on four corners. And it came down where I was looking into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, birds, and air. And then I heard a voice that tells me, 'Get up, kill, and eat.'" Peter says, I replied, "Surely not, Lord. Nothing's impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth." The voice spoke from heaven second time, says, "Do not call things impure that God has made." This happened three times, and then it was pulled away up into heaven. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying, and the Spirit told me to go with no hesitation to go with them. Also, I went with them. I entered into a house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house, sent to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter, and he will bring you a message from which you and your household will be saved. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them.
as he had come on us in the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord said, John baptized with water, but you will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gifts as he's given us, who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? Then they heard this. There was no further objections. And they praised God, saying, so God has granted even the Gentiles to repentance and to life. Isn't that cool? Now, that's 2020 vision. Let's go look at the first account of this, okay? Acts chapter 10. We got the Peter's vision. I want you to go home, and I just would like you to read this whole chapter 10 and 11, because it's wonderful to hear how God works. He does not tell you ahead of time what he's going to do with you. Okay? You hear me say that, right? Will God tell you what he's going to do with you at the beginning? No. And on the journey, are you going to have some struggles? Absolutely. What are the struggles doing? Think of God as a potter. He's molding you in your image, or is his image? His image or your image? Which one? His image. And you may even take some sandpaper. That hurts, guys. Have you ever sanded your hand? Yeah, it hurts. God will take that and he will sand things around because he's trying to make you susceptible for the next journey. Here's what Peter struggled with. Look in chapter 10. He struggled with his culture. The next day, Peter started out with them. We're in verse 23. And following, he arrived at Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them. He had called together all his relatives and friends. That takes a lot of faith. First of all, to call an apostle, a Jewish guy, a Gentile, saying, hey, come. Where did he get that information? He got it from the angel. And so what you see is a person of obedience calling, saying, go over there and get them. I'm glad they didn't have Twitter. Okay? I'm glad they didn't have email. I'm glad they didn't have IM. Okay? Because they would just Twitter that, and then Peter would come. But this is a journey that Peter's having to take with three strangers, and he brings four people with him, and they're walking to Caesarea Philippi, which is about a four-day walk. And they're talking. And then he says to them, as he walks in, he enters the house. Cornelius met him, fell at his feet, and Peter says, made him get up and stand up. He says, I'm a man just like you. Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large group of people. He said to them, here's the struggle. He says, you are well aware it is against our law for the Jews to associate with Gentiles or visit them. What's happening right now with Peter? Yeah. What happened 20 years ago here in the state of Maine? It was just featured on Channel 8. Ice storm. Did any of you help a neighbor when you were here? Were you helped by another neighbor? And I'm watching that hour program on Channel 8 was showing neighbor to neighbor helping one another. It took an ice storm to break down some barriers from neighbors in Maine. We had a guy in I think it's in Auburn or Lewiston or Livermore Falls, I forget which one, but he got up every 2 hours, he had a generator, and he would plug in people to that generator. It took an ice storm to break through. There's a little, in Worcester, on a lake, there's a little island. And they had been praying. There was a bar on this island, which was really evil. And they were praying that that bar would go out of business. There was an ice storm. The island was separated. And the friend of mine who lived there got his chainsaw and started cutting trees where people can get in and out. And through that relationship, the bar went out of business. And they turned it into a church. See, we look at these ice storms, we look at this as misery. But God is using those to give you an opportunity to cross a line and be a neighbor. He's already put inside of you his spirit. And we're afraid to let it out. Are we not? Guys, God wants you, whether you're in DR or here, he wants you to say, God, we sang about this. I'll give it all up. Let me step out. I have a request. I got a received request, and I'm just telling you, I'll be gut honest with you. I'm a horrible writer. I hate to write. You'd rather do anything than write. It'll spend 30 minutes writing on the email, make sure everything's correct. Sometimes I just get bored and I just send it. So this friend calls me, he writes me a letter, and he says, I want you to write for me. And I go, you know I'm a horrible writer. He says, I don't care. I want you to write. Well, I have a choice, to write or not to write. I took the choice to write. And so I wrote 5 devotions. It went very well. Now, in their editing process, I don't know what they're going to look like on the outside, but I know what they look on this side. But God wants us to step out and do stuff, get out of our comfort zone. I want you to notice what Peter did. Peter had an experience with God. He followed through with the Holy Spirit. And then he went back to the Word of God and said, this is what Jesus said. John baptized with water, and you will baptize with the Holy Spirit. But before that could happen, Peter had to get past his cultural barriers. Have you met any cultural barriers here? Too many? Yeah. He's stretching you, right? From Indiana to here, and he's in short sleeves. What about it? I thought he was a Mainer. You see, he wants to stretch us. And I must tell you that I am as covert as they can be. I was preaching in a church, and there's a guy named Brad. He's faithful. He's coming. I know that he has an active, he's in Bible study. And so I got through preaching, and I said, Brad, close us in prayer. If looks could kill, I would be dead. I would do this as a youth minister. I would say, Jason, close us in prayer. They would look at me. Guys, the challenge that God wants in your life is to make you better than you are and to show you what he wants to do with sinful persons. He's not here to harm you. He's not here to hurt you. But he loves you. He loved his son, and he gave his son for you, and he put his spirit inside of you, not because you're a good person, but because you're a sinful person who need Christ, and he has a message, and you're the only one who can deliver it. Does this make sense to you? Are you following me? Are you nervous? Good. I'm glad. Because if Peter was nervous, it's challenged our culture. There's a reason we live on 5 acres, isn't there? There's a reason we don't live in town. There's a reason we have 2 acres. There's a reason. We're comfortable with that. There's a reason you came to Farmington. There's a reason. How many of you ask, what is the reason for my life, Lord? What do you have for me that I'm missing? Isn't it cool? A living God is interested in you, is willing to shape you. And we have an example of Peter. Peter is saying, you know, God's already told me that I can't say what's clean is unclean and clean is clean, okay? And God's already taught me that you're a Gentile and God created you and I'm here and you know it's a struggle for me. But he starts talking about who Jesus is and the good news and how he died, and before he finished, the Holy Spirit fell on him, on them. He's going, whoa, look. Why language is evident to the circumcised believers that God wanted Gentiles to know him. Do you know after this point, we don't see Peter again until Galatians chapter 2. But do you know who comes into the picture next? Paul, apostle to the Gentiles. Do you understand that Peter took this risk? He went back to Jerusalem and he said, boys, I know you're kind of here, but this is what God's doing. And they come together and they're on the same page and they're praising God that even the Gentiles, you and I, can know him. What does God want to do with you? Are you willing to risk? A lot of times, I love Exodus. And we'll stop at this point. Moses is standing on the Red Sea. He looks in the rear. He sees the Egyptian army. And he's crying out to God. You got the Red Sea. And he's crying out to God. And he's really belly aching. What's going to happen? God says, take a step. Guys, when you get caught in that bind, take a step. Not backward, but forward. Was he amazed that the Red Sea split? Yeah. And they went on dry ground? What opportunities await you in your circle of friends that God has already honed and made you just the right person to carry that message? Carry it. Stand back and be in awe. As a former youth minister, I have my kids. They contact me on Facebook, and they tell me what they're doing. I had no idea. 32 years later, some of them still be walking with the Lord. But I poured my life into them. I poured my life into everybody I ministered in. And I had a breakfast with a friend And they were telling me some stuff that was happening. And I just teared up. Because I didn't even see it happening. It's a 2020 thing. You have no clue what a school teacher, a Sunday school teacher, a preacher, a deacon, an elder may say that will change a life. You don't know what you may say that may change a life. Isn't that cool? So you need to stay connected with the Word. You need to stay in prayer. And you need to start every day, God, this is the day you have made. I rejoice. I'm glad in it. What's my assignment? Who am I going to run across? And be ready, in season and out of season, to give an account to who you are. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity and your word. I'm so grateful that Peter, he's such a twerp in the Gospels, but you've taken him and you made a man out of him. You took him out. He was the first adopter. He's the first one out of the boat. He's the first to go to the Gentiles. And he brought the kingdom of God to Cornelius' house, and it was changed. Thank you for Paul, because he was a second runner on there. And you've already prepared the apostles for what you were already doing. And they were in agreement. Thank you, God. Take us, individuals here, pastors, families, deacons, elders, just people. What can you do with ordinary people? Show us. If we are willing to take a step of faith, what would you do? We will stand amazed. Thank you for this opportunity, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.